Now we're going to turn our attention to the week's undercovered stories, a story here or there that you would like to see get a little bit more attention. And Aaron Burkhalter, maybe we can start with you.
Yeah, I think my undercovered story of the week, of course, something that got a lot of attention was the Seattle City Council passing its encampment ordinance. And what this essentially does is it allows organizations that operate tent cities to operate on privately owned land and city-owned land just as easily as they can now through religious institutions. So religious institutions have very few restrictions on where and how they operate tent cities, and now there's all this land that's opened up for that. What I think has kind of been undercovered is that the legislation itself does not actually create encampments, and it doesn't itself fund encampments. And so that's really what's on my mind is how do we get from that point to having this not just be a new place for the existing encampments to go, but to be a way to expand the number of encampments so we can expand the number of places that the, you know, more than 2,000 people who are sleeping outdoors at night can stay.
Now, the funding and actual execution of those three tent cities, newly permitted tent cities, Aaron Burkhalter's underreported story. Thank you so much for that. So, Hannah Brooks Olson, while we're on the subject of Mayor Murray and housing, what's your underreported story?
My underreported story is kind of similar to Aaron's in that it's an announcement that was made with very little fanfare, but also very little plan for execution. So Ed Murray has been working for months sort of in, not necessarily back rooms, but he's been working with various entities to try to figure out an affordable housing solution. He's trying to figure out how to house all of those people who are sleeping outside, but also all of the people who are in interim housing and all of the people who are on the wait list and all of the people who are in areas where they might not want to live, the ones who live in Renton.
And right. And this has been kind of like a drumbeat. This has been a big, you know, this is sort of the next big issue that we're tackling. Like, for example, on the scale of the minimum wage, there have been task forces galore and lots of meetings and public meetings and public input and so on. And then we get this announcement kind of sprung up in the B section of the paper.
Yeah, it was sort of came by surprise. The only place I saw it was on Seattle.gov and in a press release in my inbox, but I didn't see much else. But Ed Murray basically said that in the next 10 years, we'll be building 50,000 new units for people to live in, and 20,000 of them would be affordable. So there's several issues with this, one of which is it's over the next 10 years, which is a really long time to keep people waiting for affordable housing. The other is 50,000 is a lot of units. There's literally not space. Josh Veit from Publicola put it in the way that it's basically six South Lake unions, South Lakes Union, I suppose. Right. And there's just not room with the way that zoning occurs in the city now with single family housing and multifamily housing. Like, there's just, I don't know where those are going to go. And I don't know how the developers are going to be convinced to build 20,000 affordable housing units. I don't know how he's going to incentivize that. He has set it at the 80% annual median income as laid out by HUD, which is a pretty standard yardstick. But if we are increasing minimum wage in the city 10 years from now, when everyone in the minimum wage is making $15 or even $16 an hour, that federal level might not really apply, or even a city level might need to be readjusted. And so there's a lot of logistical issues to this announcement that sounds really cool, where he's like, oh, almost half of new houses built in the next 10 years will be affordable. Like, if you just see that headline, that's great. But I didn't even see that headline this week. He just sort of made an announcement, waved his hand, and then kind of moonwalked off stage. So I'm not really sure. I don't really know what he was planning to have happen with that, but I don't know that it happened.
All right. Sarah Studeville, how about your underreported story?
So my underreported story of the week, I think maybe is also my underreported story of the decade here in the Pacific Northwest, and that's about the Northwest Detention Center. For people who don't know, there's the Northwest Detention Center, also sometimes called the NWDC, on the Tacoma Tide Flats. It was built early 2000s, kind of post 9/11. There was a push for funding to create these detention centers for people who had pending immigration cases, right? And if you go there, which I have, because I've reported on it for about a decade now, it's very much like a prison. It's a detention center. So these are people that may be getting deported, don't know, they're waiting to go before an immigration judge of some kind. So this contract has been owned by a private corporation called the GEO Group since the founding of the NWDC, and has just pretty steadily been renewed. Each time it's up for renewal, GEO Group gets it again. And so I think that right there, kind of the existence of the NWDC is a little bit of an underreported story. The fact that this private corporation that is actually, I believe they're originally from Florida, keeps getting this contract is underreported. And then kind of adding to it is this fact that the detention center is less full than it has been. So these beds aren't necessarily full, but these contracts are decided by how many beds there are in the center. So GL Group just got renewed at this level that presumed a full detention center when, in fact, it hasn't been full now for the last couple of years. So it's kind of one of those situations where an out-of-state private company is getting this kind of weird subsidy to do this sort of controversial thing totally under the radar.